Well, our New Testament reading today is from Matthew chapter 6, and we'll read from verse 1 to verse 15. Now, Matthew chapter 6, verses 1 to 15. Beware of practicing your righteousness before other people in order to be seen by them, for then you will have no reward from your Father who is in heaven. Thus, when you give to the needy, sound no trumpet before you, as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets, that they may be praised by others. Truly I say to you, they have received their reward. But when you give to the needy, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, so that your giving may be in secret, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you. And when you pray, you must not be like the hypocrites, for they love to stand and pray in the synagogues and at the street corners, so that they may be seen by others. Truly I say to you, they have received their reward. But when you pray, go into your room and shut the door and pray to your Father who is in secret, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you. And when you pray, do not heap up empty phrases as the Gentiles do, for they think that they'll be heard for their many words. Do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask him. Pray then like this: Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For if you forgive others their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others their trespasses, neither will your heavenly Father forgive your trespasses. This is the word of God. Of course, we're looking at the Lord's Prayer, and it's part of the Sermon on the Mount, and of course the Sermon on the Mount is part of Scripture, and there's no doubt that Scripture is particularly is relevant when you think about it. And this, for sure. A way to think about it is to think of your favourite meal. Sometimes when we drive from point A to point B and there's not much, it's a bit boring. It's interesting to ask people about what meal would they like, and they start to think about how it is, and they start to salivate as they go along the road. But it's just good to think about what's your favourite meal, because what this part of the Lord's Prayer is talking about is this reality. Now, of course, many people pray the Lord's Prayer. They pray with the Lord's Prayer in a desperate situation. I was seeing something the other day on television about the 9/11, the Twin Towers, when they went down in New York. And this chap said that there was this woman who was injured and he prayed the Lord's Prayer with her. And that's not bad, depending on what he meant by it, of course. But this prayer is, though many people would use it, it's a prayer for Jesus' disciples, as we know. And it's called the Lord's Prayer, but as we've said, it's the disciples' prayer. And so it's for us, who belong to the Lord Jesus, who follow him. It's given to us by the Lord Jesus, who loves us and has freed us from our sins by his blood. And it's our Lord and Saviour who's given us this, because it honours God, but also it honours, it's good for us as well. And we've looked at the beginning of this prayer already, and we're up to the fourth request. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And now, give us this day our daily bread. Give us this day our daily bread. And I think we'll see that it's very relevant for us. And you've already been thinking about that from the beginning. But just, of course, remember we're studying the Lord's Prayer not so that we can have more information, not so that we get all our theology correct. We want to get our theology correct. But we're not just studying it for that reason. We're doing it so that we might pray better, so that we might pray the Lord's Prayer or follow the pattern of the Lord's Prayer and know what we're praying. Because sometimes we can read Scripture or we could go through the Lord's Prayer and not actually know it, though we know what we mean. And so it's good prayer, and studying makes us think about what it means. And we want to do that particularly today with this next petition. The fourth petition, the fourth request, give us this day our daily bread. And the first thing is that it can be difficult to pray for food. Well, I can find it difficult to pray for food. Give us this day our daily bread. I mean, it's not difficult to understand. We know what the words mean, although there's one word here, the word daily. It's a rare word. We're not 100% sure of what it means, but daily sounds best, and that's fine. So this request is not difficult to understand what the words mean. Yet, it can be difficult to pray and to mean in our situation. To pray and to mean. Now, I'm saying that about myself, and I have the advantage that when I have to preach, I have to prepare and think about this. And so that's a challenge to me. But now, as we're thinking about this now, what about you? Well, it can be difficult for this reason. The prayers we mean most are prayers for our felt needs. Your child is lost, you pray, and you really mean it. The needed check, you know, you need the money to come through, you really pray, Lord, please look after us here. Or a loved one is sick. Or when we're in worry and we cast our burden on the Lord, pass an exam, family member to be saved, for a sin that you keep falling into. Things that really touch us, we mean when we pray. But the supply of food, I mean really, the supply of food, we, at least I, don't usually feel this is a needy thing. And I wonder about you as well. Of course, in the New Testament times when Jesus was teaching his disciples this prayer, more people would feel this need to pray for food more often than we do. People were much more, much closer to agriculture. And so if agriculture failed, they felt it. A wider group of the society felt the problem. They knew intimately, they knew personally about crop failure and hunger, real hunger. So it's probably easier for them to pray, give us this day our daily bread, and mean it. And of course, this is not just New Testament times. We know there are other parts of the world where this is true as well. Agricultural societies where they have droughts and famines and they don't have backup, and their food security is very low. So we know there are people who feel this today. Seemingly, the statistic I got, that there are 800 million people in the world who don't have enough food to be healthy. That doesn't affect me. But there are these people in the world. But also, we may come closer to home, perhaps, and say that drought, because we have droughts in this country, or fire, we're aware of that, or flood, can affect the farmers and the towns in our country, and they feel it as well. And in those sort of situations, praying, give us this day our daily bread, can be much more meaningful. But I don't know about you, and as I was re-preparing this, I was thinking, well, I'm not sure about everyone's situation, but I think I live, and most of us perhaps, live in a bubble. A 21st century Western society, somewhat affluent bubble. Most of us are protected from lack of food and lack of a lot of other things as well. So that's why I'm suggesting it can be difficult for us to pray this and mean it, because we're in this bubble. And I had breakfast this morning and I've had something for lunch. I just don't feel it. So, what about you? What about me? How often do I pray, or we pray, give us this day our daily bread and mean it? Maybe all the time. Maybe. But it's a challenge to me, and maybe to you as well. Maybe, perhaps, we would pray this prayer and mean it more if we remembered some basic things, which are true. And everyone's going to agree with this, of course. but keeping in the front of our mind and affecting us, that God, the first, God is the one who gives us our food. God is the one who gives us our food. You see, getting food each week can be so automatic. We can forget. You go to the supermarket and there it is. That's where most of us get our food. But it's not the supermarket, it's not the farmers who give us our food. It's God who gives us our food, every mouthful of it. As well, that favourite meal that we were just thinking about. Every mouthful of that is from the Lord. And it can be easy to forget that it's God who gives us our food, because we go to the supermarket or the farmer's market or wherever we go and the shelves are full. And we go back in 3 days' time and the shelves are full again. That's just how it is usually. Sometimes in the pandemic, the shelves disappear. In fact, this is an aside, but I preached a sermon before. And I preached it and I said, God can take away our food. And that was just before the pandemic struck. Whew, and the shelves were actually empty. So when people went along, they realised the reality of this truth. But generally, we don't expect that. And because we don't, we forget that our food comes from God, and God only. We don't think about it. He gives us our daily bread. But it's true. He gives us our food, all of it. And we shouldn't forget. Now, there's a worse scenario than forgetting that God gives us our food, or at least a flow on from it. We can have all this food and lots of things, and we can forget God himself. And that was the problem that Moses was warning the people about in Deuteronomy chapter that we read, Deuteronomy 8. A free translation, or sum it up. Watch out when I give you lots of things that you don't forget me. That's what he's really saying. When you get lots of things which you enjoy, and remember, God gives us everything to enjoy, but don't forget me. The wise man in Proverbs 30, Agur, prayed, "Give me neither poverty or riches, but give me only my daily bread." Now, I remember I prayed that once and somebody said to me they didn't like me praying that, but it's in the Bible and it's a pretty good prayer, because they didn't think that we shouldn't say to God, "Don't give me riches." But that's an aside. But he's prayed, "Give me neither poverty nor riches, but give me only my daily bread." And then what? He gives a reason. "Otherwise, I might have too much and disown you and say, 'Who is the Lord?'" We can get comfortable in all our possessions and the things we have. And maybe we'd never tick the box, "I've forgotten the Lord," but in practice, that's how we can be. So I ask the question, when have you been most aware of God having to provide for you? Well, when your bank balances hit the floor or you're out of a job. That's when you realise it. That's when you pray, "Lord, help me. Give us this day our daily bread." When have you been most thankful for the Lord providing for you in that sort of situation? You know, it's been going badly and there it is. And it's magnificent. And you say, "Thank you." Because we can forget when we have plenty. So there's real dangers in having plenty. We can forget that our Father in heaven provides our food every day. And we can forget God himself in a practical way, in a real way. We're warned about this. And so let's not forget that God, our loving Father, the giver, the provider of everything. I mean, the scripture tells us this, Psalm 145. "The eyes of all look to you, and you give them their food in due season. You open your hand, you satisfy the desire of every living thing." See, it's God gives it. That's great there, Psalm, to praise God with and to confess that. Or Psalm 104, "You cause the grass to grow for the livestock and plants for man to cultivate, that he may bring forth food from the earth and wine to gladden the heart of man, oil to make his face shine and bread to strengthen his heart. You cause the grass to grow." God does it. I think part of the problem is we live in a scientistic world, society, you know. Science can, and we have all these explanations about science. But God is behind science. He's the one who gives or takes away. In the New Testament, Paul and Barnabas, Barnabas and Paul are at Lystra. And the locals want to worship them. And they point away from themselves, of course, they point to God. What do they say about God? He's the one who did you good by giving you rains from heaven and fruitful seasons, satisfying your hearts with food and gladness. It's a theme throughout the scripture. God, our Father in heaven, is the one who gives us our food. And he does this because he's generous and he's kind and he's loving. And when we and others don't ask him or thank him, he still gives us things because he's kind. So, why pray to our Heavenly Father, give us this day our daily bread? Because he is the one who does it. But here's another reason, it's a basic reason, another reason to ask God to give us our daily bread. Because he may not give us our food. He may not give us our food. Now, for us, he usually does. We know that. For the majority of people around the world, he does. But he may not. Think of a situation in Ahab's day. We think of Elijah the prophet at that time. This is what Elijah says. As the Lord, the God of Israel, lives whom I serve, there will be neither dew nor rain from heaven in the next few years except by my word. And there wasn't. There was a drought. And some more than others, but we have an idea what a drought looks like. And there was a drought and there was no food. It petered out. The Lord stopped giving food. And he may do that for us as well. He may do that for us as well. Think again of droughts our country has faced. Fires that have raged. Floods that have occurred. And in some places these have really touched food supplies. Not just farmers, but us as well, can be affected by these sorts of things. And droughts the country has faced and fires that have raged and may return, it's, summer's coming, and floods in some places are also from the hand of God. Now, I'm not saying some floods, I'm saying sometimes there are floods, and when there are, they're from God's hand. They're all from God's hand. And the pandemic as well. See, yes, and the pandemic as well. And so when those supermarket shelves are lost because everyone panics and goes and takes everything away, but the pandemic itself is also from God's hand. It's not an accident. Now, people may not like to think about that. We may not like to think about that, but it's true. It's true. God may cause things to happen so that food is not readily available. And I suggest in our relative comfort, I don't know about you, I'm thinking about myself, but think about this and apply it to your own situation. In our relative country, in our state of enjoyment of God's gifts, we can forget who God is and what he does and that he's active. God hasn't gone asleep at the wheel. That's not why we've got the pandemic or floods or fires. And this is very solemn. This is very solemn. Now, Isaiah says this. And the Lord says this through Isaiah. I form light and create darkness. I make well-being and create calamity. I am the Lord. I am Jehovah who does all these things. Amos says, he asks this rhetorical question. Does disaster come to a city unless the Lord has done it? And we know what the answer is. That is, God, our Father, does all these things. He's in control. Now, it's sobering, it's humbling, but it's true. It's reality. Now, God's not arbitrary in what he sends. He's not capricious, he's not unjust, he's not grumpy, he's not unloving. He does all these things for a good reason. When he sends darkness or famine or affliction or fire or flood or famine or a pandemic, he'll do it for right and good reasons in the 21st century as well as in the 8th century BC. Even if we don't understand it fully, because often we don't understand how these things are. One of our elders said once, God gives us the things that we would have prayed for if we knew as much as he knows. God knows everything. We only know this little bit, and we ask, and we think, God, why aren't you doing what I ask you? But God's got a bigger plan. That doesn't mean he doesn't respond to our prayers. But he does all these things for good reasons. And he may choose not to give us food, any food, for good reasons. And I was thinking, what might this be? Well, he might not give us food because it'll make us wake up and think, Lord, we need to pray about this. It may be a way that it draws us closer to him because we see our need. Now, I'm not praying for this. We had Nigerian students at the college for a while. One of the things they'd say, if something was they really didn't want, they'd say, I do not pray for that. It was their way of saying, I pray against that. Yeah. Well, I do not pray that the Lord will take away all our food. But he may. And so that we will trust the giver more than the gift. Or be drawn closer to him. Or trust him more. I don't expect it. And even as I wrote this down, I don't expect him to. And it might be dangerous saying that. But I don't expect him to. But even as I say I don't expect him to, it makes me recognise my dependence on him for my food today and tomorrow. And so it's in this context that we pray, give us this day our daily bread. And God is not obliged to give us anything, is he? I mean, he's not begrudging. He's not begrudging. He doesn't say, oh no, I don't really like these people. But he's not obliged. And so we should humbly pray, shouldn't we? Give us this day our daily bread. Because we recognise our absolute dependence on him, but it's not automatic, it comes from his hand. So, give us this day our daily bread is not thanking God for our food. But we should thank God for our food as well. This is sort of a spin-off. Afterwards, when he gives it to us, because it's a gift, all our food is a gift, we should thank him for it. Sincerely, there's a practice. Maybe there are people here who can straighten me out on this, but I believe there's a practice in Scotland where they not only gave thanks before the meal, but gave thanks after the meal. That's not a bad idea, is it? When do you feel happiest? After the meal, don't you? And what do? You thank the hostess. Or you thank, right? But, man, at the end of a meal to say, thank you, Lord, that was magnificent. Yeah. So I'm just saying, part of this, a spin-off, is to give us this day our daily bread, then is to recognise it and say, thank you for giving us our food today. Thank you, Father. So thinking about this, there's another aspect that is worth keeping in mind when we pray, give us this day our daily bread. And that is, we pray for the basics. We pray for the basics, don't we? Give us this day our daily bread. That which sustains life and health. I mean, that doesn't mean we shouldn't pray for more or for other things, but that's the prayer here. That's the basic. It focuses on our basics. And when we do focus on the basics, we see how much more than the basics the Lord gives us. I mean, he gives us I can't speak for you. He gives me my daily bread. He gives me heaps of my daily bread. He gives me more than my daily bread, you know. You've got to be careful because you don't know what people like and don't like, okay? Do you like having a hot shower? I like having a hot shower. God gives us hot showers. Do you like having an electric blanket? Now, some people don't like electric blankets. I like having an electric blanket. God gives us electric blankets. Isn't that magnificent? That's more than daily bread. I mean, God is good. But you see here, give us this day daily bread, the basics. But he gives us so much more. So, I don't know where you're at, but I think that's really, you might be struggling to get by in the pandemic or the lockdown. But generally, think about it. and I think about it myself for me. Have a look at the shelves in your fridge and the fridge door and the crisper and the freezer. Do you have more than basics? Well, I have more than basics. Okay, just telling you that. Maybe you don't, okay, but we do at our place. Check out the cupboards and the pantry. Check out the compost bin. What has God given us? If the benchmark's the basics, then there's a lot of stuff the Lord gives us beyond our daily bread. It's a bonus. So much to thank God for when we think about it. Now, in our busyness, in our hurry, we don't think about that, but there it is. And it's good to think about it and say, thank you, Lord, for all those things. So give us this day our daily bread. It's a prayer for basics. When we think about what God's given us, unbegrudgingly, generously, lovingly, willingly. It encourages me, doesn't it encourage us, to thank God for so much. Now, just one more point on this. When we get the best basics, which we do, when we get the extras, or as many extras, when we get the basics and don't get the extras or not as many extras as others, then what? And this is an aside, but it's just good to think about because we're thinking about these provision that God provides. What about when we don't get as many extras as other people? It can be a challenge because it can be easy to be envious. It's easy for me to be envious, I don't know about you, but you look at someone else and they've got it, why haven't I got it? And this can happen not just when you look at the world, because you say, well, that's the world, but when other Christians get more than you, and you say, well, Lord, you might not say it, but maybe in the back of your head somewhere you can think, Lord, why am I not, how come they're getting, and I'm, it can just happen, right? I'm just saying. And I think we need to keep that in mind. It can be easy to be envious. See? And the Lord our Saviour, doesn't want us to be envious of what other people have. And he's given us his Holy Spirit so that we might learn not to be envious. I mean, because we can slip that way, that's sin, we're still sinners. But the Holy Spirit enables us to be content. It's not always easy, but to be content. Listen to the Lord Jesus. Take care and be on your guard against all covetousness, for one's life does not consist in the abundance of his possessions. Take care and be on your guard against all covetousness. And the Lord's saying that because this is a temptation with respect to possessions and the things that the Lord gives us, including more than our daily bread. Listen to Paul. But godliness with contentment is great gain, for we brought nothing into the world, and we cannot take anything out of the world. But if we have food and clothing, with these we will be content. Content. The Lord Jesus died to change us in order that we learn, amongst other things, to be content, trusting our Heavenly Father. He knows what's best for us. He loves us. We thank him for what he's given us. We ask him for what we need. And he gives us usually the basics and more, much more, things to thank him for. Particularly when we pray, give us this day our daily bread. And so, what's your favourite meal? Every mouthful comes from your loving Heavenly Father. Every mouthful. Let's thank him for that. And all his provisions, the basics and the extras. Remember that he's loving and he's kind. And he's done this, he does this for us time and time again. And so thank him, but also pray. And learn to mean, give us this day our daily bread. So let's pray. Father in heaven, thank you that you give us so much in this country. Please forgive us for our discontent when it comes up. Lord, we really thank you that you give us so much, and we do enjoy it and appreciate it. But we don't want to forget you, and we thank you again for your kindness, and we do pray that you'll continue to provide for us what we need. Give us day by day our daily bread, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.